Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, episode 201, and I'm Ken Napsok.
I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And we are here talking Star Wars with you all in a post-Rise of Skywalker world. This is a pre-tape episode. We always say that just in case between the last episode and this one, they announced episode 10.
Yep.
That's why we're not talking about
co-directed by Rian Johnson and J.J. Abrams. Peace reigns.
That's the name of the movie. Episode 10. Peace reigns. We're here talking Star Wars with you all during the holiday week. If you celebrate, happy holidays, Merry Christmas, and all the things in between. We are going to be talking about an important question, Joseph, here in a bit. Are Solo and Rogue One part of the Skywalker saga?
Yeah,
that's a big one.
It is.
It's a big one. We're gonna dive in. It's actually close to my heart. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. As always, a little bit later, whatever Force Center recommends, an audiobook we think you should try out on us. On these regular shows, we always do our life adventure catch-up. This is, again, pre-tape. And the Life Adventure catch-up is racing to get to see Rise of Skywalker a third time, but have time to get drinks to take into the theater. That's what's important in life.
And what's important to me is I need to get to Barnes & Noble to buy the visual dictionary for the Rise of Skywalker so I can start my next level of Star Wars enjoyment, memorizing planet and character names.
That's a great, you know, I ordered it and I didn't do the pre-order. I did the, oh yeah, gosh, I got to get that. And I'm leaving town and like, well, while you're listening to this, I'm out of town. And the delivery date was like the day I left. And I was like, I'm going to miss it.
Cruel.
But it's a gift when I come back.
Yeah.
Patience is key to the lessons of the Force.
Force patience. Mm-hmm. A new Force power coming soon. Actively. Force yourself to take a deep breath. Force yourself to take a deep breath. This is a terrible idea. Yeah. So maybe we should move on. We don't have news, right?
We don't have, well, I don't have a lot of news. Go see the movie again. That's the news. Talk about it with your family and friends. And hopefully the world's calmed down. Probably not. But we're here. We got our main topic here. And this, you know, you send some, as you always do, some, hey, here's some things we want to talk about. And different questions, different topics we're going to get to. This one. It's something we had talked about, we joked about, and for some reason, it's kind of a question that I have, and get the marketing, but are Solo and Rogue One part of the Skywalker saga today here on Force Center, Justin?
Yeah, and we'll dive deep into other questions and ideas that that spin off of Rise of Skywalker itself, but we kind of want to let it settle and land, and since we're pre-recording, this spoke to me because when we sat down to record our last episode before Rise of Skywalker, you were talking about rewatching the movies, and you just said it with just such passion, like, and of course, Rogue One and Solo, they're part of the Skywalker saga. It's like, all right, we got to talk about this. Ken feels powerfully and in a surprising development. I think I might disagree.
Oh,
so
nice.
for the people who like these antagonistic podcasts, let's butt our podcast
ding,
horns.
Ding, ding. Round one.
Bing, bing, bing. We'll probably agree that's with one funny. Another by the end. Spoiler.
Yeah, that's usually the way to go. All right, interesting.
So, yeah, let's dive into the big picture. So why do you believe that Rogue One and Solo are part of the Skywalker saga?
I'll start here. I understand from a marketing point of view, and not just tweets, but just like, hey, we got to put this together. How do we sell? We buy Disney. We bought Lucasfilm is bought by Disney. We're going to put this out. We're going to do 7, 8, 9, but we can do other things. How do we deal with that? We'll say they're standalones or anthologies or outside of it. I get that from a technical standpoint, but we're obviously here. This is Force Center. We talk deeper than that. I just think they give valuable pieces of insight to the overall story. I'm not even talking about Vader showing up in one of them or anything like that. I just, to me, it adds to it. Rogue One flows right into New Hope, as we know, all those kind of things. So I just come from that point of view.
Okay.
The world that the Skywalkers are fighting over or for is really built upon in these two movies.
Right. And it's more the themes than there's a literal Skywalker, Vader, in Rogue One,
and Leia too.
Solo marries into the Skywalker family and co-produces a Skywalker with Ben Solo.
Yeah.
So it's less that those familial ties are literally there, and more the themes.
Yeah, like it would be essential to me if I was to sit someone down, like, oh, you got a Saturday and Sunday, you can watch this 1 through 9. Don't forget these, because it'll give you a lot of pieces of information and themes that tie in.
That's
where I'll start from.
Okay. I think for me, there's something that I like about the way Lucasfilm has just been like, we need a name for what used to just be Star Wars, the main Star Wars saga. Because first they're like, these are spinoffs. These are other stories.
Right.
Smaller stories in places we haven't got to explore. They aren't the main story. And then as they're leading up to episode 9, it's like, well, it's the Skywalker saga. Mm-hmm. And it makes you rethink, like, yeah, most of the main characters have been Skywalkers.
Mm-hmm.
But what does that mean for the whole story? I got a bigger picture of that with Rise of Skywalker of the literal bloodline, the biological bloodline ends. So that kind of gives it some definition.
Right.
But I think for me, there's something about Rogue One and Solo were intended to stand alone.
Mm-hmm.
And just through like the gravity of the story of the Skywalker saga, they got pulled a little bit closer.
So the sense of the Skywalkers, just you can't orbit too close to the Skywalkers.
Yeah.
They'll pull you in if you're not supposed to be there.
Force.
I got you.
Pull. Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah. And I think they have we're going to talk about the themes. They have so much thematic resonance to what's going on in the Skywalker saga.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I just like the idea of standalones. I like the idea of the Skywalker saga is the tale of specifically this family's actions
right.
and how those actions greatly affected the galaxy.
Mm-hmm.
And then these other stories funnel into it.
Absolutely fair. They fun. Yeah, I can't deny that. They go into it there. And I will say this. Love the concept of standalones. Like, disappointed. Love Disney Plus. Want more on that.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. But disappointed that I won't get to see some movies that stand on. Maybe I will. Who knows?
Yeah.
Kathleen Kennedy's trying to figure it out. Right.
Exactly.
Right. So I do agree with that.
Yeah. I guess here's the way to say it.
Mm-hmm.
I like the 9 Skywalker saga films being like a poem. We talk about it all the time. Okay. Both poking fun at Lucas, calling it poetry, but also appreciating where they rhyme.
Where they do, yeah.
And so to me, it's like those 9 movies are a poem, and they're specifically interacting and speaking to one another.
Okay.
And then Solo and Rogue One are on the same page, but they're great illustrations that complement the poem, but they're not actually part of the poem.
Okay. They're like okay.
Yeah.
They're either in the, you flip the page and there's another story it's inspired by.
Yeah. Okay. You can watch the whole Skywalker saga like,
and not need these two.
Yes. Yeah. The chapter episodes, like to get ready for Rise of Skywalker,
mm-hmm.
in Solo and Rogue One will enhance your enjoyment.
Right.
Of the Skywalker saga. But you can just watch Phantom Menace through Last Jedi and you're ready for Rise of Skywalker.
And there's no argument against that. In fact, particularly with Solo. Rogue One, because it's so close, you might want to get the whole sense of the battle. You might want to, you know, be part of that. I would not skip that one more than Solo, as much as I love Solo. So that I get to.
Yeah.
But it's like I wonder down, like, will we consider Kenobi the series part of the Skywalker saga?
You
know?
Yeah.
It's not part of this discussion.
Yeah.
But
this is so great to, discussion because it truly doesn't matter. You can think whatever you want to think.
Well, that's
watch whatever you want.
I keep joking. I'm like, literally, if they announce tomorrow, we decided to go with episode 10.
I'd be
like, great.
Yeah.
Not going to be like, you said it's over.
You know, John Boyega and Daisy Ridley said, you know what? We do want to be Jedi together.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Let's do that.
Let's do this. Yeah.
No,
okay. So good to see where we're coming from. How does thinking about Solo and Rogue One being a part of Skywalker saga, how does that clarify what the Skywalker saga is actually about to you? If Disney said, you know what, we changed our mind, we don't want to call those standalones anymore, we're going to take in future releases a Star Wars story name off of them, they are part of the Skywalker saga.
Mm.
How does that change the definition of what the saga is about?
It would be a little more about the galaxy at large, but galaxy at small, where particularly with Rise of Skywalker, we've seen it comes down to the timeless, ageless battle of Sith versus Jedi kind of coming to some sort of chapter close to.
Yeah.
And the Skywalkers are tied all through that. Palpatine's tied all through that. The Palpatine saga coming to you soon. So if they were officially to it, then it would be definitely a little bit more focus on those 20 years between Sith and New Hope and the battle of Rebellion versus the Empire. It'd be a little bit more about that.
Yeah.
Because then you could also say the Separatists versus the Republic definitely are the precursor and the fuel into that, and the Republic becomes the bad guys, all those kind of things, and how it translates out. And now that Palpatine's driving it through his oppression and reign of terror throughout the galaxy just keeps kind of going from another point of view, and so it becomes a little bit more about that war being stretched out for different generations.
Yeah.
Beyond just one specific titled war of the Galactic Civil War.
Interesting.
Maybe.
Yeah. I think both Rogue One and Solo carry themes with them that were sort of birthed in the original and prequel trilogy. But it just sort of like it emphasizes certain ingredients.
Okay.
Because Solo is, to me, it would make all of the Skywalker saga much more a story about found family.
Mm-hmm.
And Rogue One really emphasizes what is a huge theme of Rise of Skywalker of you can't do it alone.
Right.
You know,
right.
No one can.
Definitely.
And both Solo and Rogue One have a strong sort of hero's call.
Mm-hmm.
Both Jin and Solo are characters who want to walk away
very much
and eventually feel compelled. So it starts to like really kind of raise up a little bit of like balancing out the war versus the force lore, as you have said in the past. So yeah, looking at it in a different way just kind of emphasizes which side of the war versus lore kind of thing you fall into. Does anything in Rise of Skywalker make you see Solo or Rogue One in a different light?
That's a good one. You may have got me there. You may have won this round. Scrimshaw. A little bit about the people rising up. And also what I love about Solo, I actually do say this a lot, is I guess it could be my favorite moment in Solo is Infant's Nest unmasking because of what that whole sequence is. Her finally, like, enough games, let's do this, and how it shows that even so, particularly someone like me who looks as the rebellion is very militaristic. And in fact, what I love about Admiral Raddus, as we all know, that moment that is him proclaiming the Rebel Alliance is now a threat, an organized assault. It is a military unit taking it to the Empire at that point. That's what I love, the Raddus moments, and particularly the moment
I say we fight.
Yeah, and this is Admiral Raddus of the Rebel Alliance. Chills, first time ever.
Yeah.
However, Infant's Nest in that moment and unmasking and her marauders unmask the Cloud Riders. It shows that the rebellion is also from the people who rose up because their worlds were being crushed. Their industries were being crushed. Their families were being crushed. And there was no military. There was just a rebellion on the ground. And I think that could tie directly to more Rise of Skywalker of, you know, the line we keep talking about of it's not the Navy, it's just people.
Yeah.
So I'll go with that. I'll take that.
Yeah. I'll take that too. It's just the people, but I will take the larger idea of, I think it's in all of Star Wars, the idea of, yep, there are people who are destined to have power, with the Force, whether that's because you're born a Skywalker or a Palpatine, or it's you're a random kid named Obi-Wan born on Stujon, or Ahsoka Tano is not from the line of the mighty Tano. It's like,
right.
But they have the Force.
And they
have more power than random Han, whatever his last name was. Or, you know, Jyn Erso has some power because she was born of a scientist and an explorer, right?
Right,
so she's got a little bit of a DNA jackpot there.
Absolutely.
So everybody's born with different levels of power.
Right.
And there's that discussion of sort of democratizing power in Star Wars.
Mm.
I think Rise of Skywalker really counters the, well, it's the Skywalker and the Palpatine family lineage with all this great power, really counters that with, but Finn has power, but Janna has power, but everybody has power, the entire galaxy, just people. When they decide to show up. Solo and Rogue One are so much about Jyn in Solo in particular, just showing up. And so exactly what you're saying about the people, but it even elevates that more to the story of Star Wars is about people making the right choices, regardless of what level of gift you happen to have born with, however you got it, whether you got it from family or whatever. But it just elevates to this level of that's Star Wars is about your choice and doing the right thing, whatever amount of power you have. And Rogue One is so much about the this probably isn't going to work.
Yeah.
But the whole Saw Gerrera, you know, one person with a stick and a dream. I'm paraphrasing. Yeah.
Save the stick.
Fight
the dream.
Save the dream. Poke the stormtrooper.
Yeah.
It makes me really think about those things of Rey's choice to do the right thing is no different than Baze Malbus's.
Yeah, I like
their
that.
Their circumstances are different.
K2SO, the choice over programming, right? That's all there too, even the droids.
Yeah.
I like that.
So between Solo and Rogue One,
go watch these movies.
Which do you think has more emotional impact on the story of the Skywalker family?
Definitely Rogue One. I mean, Leia's, you know, got that moment of, and it's hope. Yeah, definitely, you know, Solo has its own emotions and its own things, but I even see that it definitely plays smaller than anything we've seen in a Star Wars movie before. The fate of the world is not directly at stake, but it's hanging over it. So yeah, Rogue One, and then you add in the music of some of the stuff at the end of that. They're all the emotions.
Yeah, I get that. Yeah. I think I go with Solo because it enhances my enjoyment, not only of the original trilogy, but more so of the sequel. We made the joke, but when you think of it, this is a prequel about Kylo Ren's dad.
Yeah.
It does take on whole other light because it's like, well, here's where he came from. Here's why he's always got orphans' backs. You know, you've got the thing with Enfys Nest. like, and Kira even knowing, like, he's not, now he knows who you are, that you've been downtrodden and you're alone and you're a kid living up to what an adult needs to do.
Yeah.
He's going to help you. Makes sense of why Han invites Luke to join him on the Falcon. Mm-hmm. But it also sort of escalates why Han is afraid of emotions and connection. Mm-hmm. Right. Cause he had this early connection to Kira.
Yeah.
And he got hurt.
Mm.
He's got this great bond with Chewie, but he doesn't really acknowledge it. Even after Kira says, like, you need someone, you need him. He's just like, hey, yeah, we're buddies. We're good. And I'm here for you. And that's great. But he doesn't really let it in that Chewie is his life partner. So that all of Solo builds up to me why Han reacts to Rey with such, I know where you've been. And I can see it in your eyes, and I want to reach out with kindness and offer you to join the crew, but I got to do it in a gruff way. I'm not going to be nice to you. And builds up why it's terrifying for him to try to reach his son.
I like that. How it relates to what he has to work through with Kira and overcome, how it connects to Leia and how their life together, you know, good, bad, and fun times are all, it adds a little weight to that too. I could be in that.
It adds weight like to that. His man grunt on the bridge in Endor where he's not going to listen to what Leia has to say.
Yeah.
And then turns around. He makes good decisions, emotional decisions on bridges, that Solo.
Yeah.
Between Solo and Rogue One, which do you think has more impact on the galaxy as a whole?
Well, I mean, definitely Rogue One, right? That's striking from a hidden rebel base. I think that's there. And then just again, the setting up. So even with what I just talked about with Emphas Nest, at some point it has to coalesce into one unified as best it can be army. So yeah, I'll Rogue One. I'll take that one. God, I love Solo though. I hate Solo losing points in a debate here with myself even, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think, between Solo and Rogue One just has such a massive impact on the galaxy. And it's so fascinating to think about the process of, it was John Knoll, right?
Who's like John Knoll. Yeah. Yeah.
There's that passage about the rebels striking from a hidden base, winning their first victory. Let's make a movie about that. And you think about like, yeah, cool. That's a separate story.
Yeah.
And you build it up and you build it up and it's just not everything gets built up to Luke is this kid of fate, of destiny, of power.
Right.
But in order for him to take this shot, all of these people have to make these choices and make this sacrifice. So it goes again to that balance of power.
Yep.
But it's also just so much about the story of what the rebellion is.
Yeah.
And it's so by the time we catch up in Star Wars, especially, you know, back in the day, it was just sort of like, oh yeah, the Empire's kind of crappy and everybody knows it. And people want to be in the rebellion. fight the Empire. But to see that resistance to, they're too big, they're going to wipe us out. Yeah. There's no hope.
Right.
And them creating the opportunity for hope is so big to galactic history.
Exactly. I love that. I love what you said about it. It's a pyramid leading up to Luke.
Yeah.
In a way, and it's needed. And that's something, again, something you didn't think about. Rogue One, going to what you said about Knoll, like, I sometimes get confused at some of the snark thrown at, you're just taking a line and making it a movie? I'm like, I mean, I've been wondering about that my whole life as a kid.
Yeah.
That's pretty fun, you know, whether or not, you know, you like the movie or not. I don't know. Just like it seems like, sure, and try it again. Do it again with another story. Do it again.
Take more of the crawls. Yeah. I also sometimes really think of Star Wars as having these three, the actual original movie Star Wars, having these defining branches of Luke at the time represented the Skywalker, the true Skywalker.
Right.
The family destiny. I want to be a Jedi like my father before me. And then Han represents the scoundrels and the bounty hunters and all that fun stuff. And then Leia represents government and the rebellion and the sort of political side of things.
Right.
And it's interesting to see that both of those kind of two pillars outside of the Skywalker saga kind of have their own movie.
Yeah.
Where Solo dives into the roguish and the bounty hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And then Rogue One really cements the political
side of it,
and specifically like the history of the rebellion and how they actually got to a place of being ready to fight.
Ready to, thank you, Radis.
Yeah, sorry. I love Radis. You are not alone, my friend.
Yeah.
What what themes that originated in the Skywalker saga are most important to you in Solo?
I think that the choice to be better, which really solidifies later on in Battlefront 2, blah blah blah, but it's there. They're taking it from that. I like that the committing to something and then struggling with that commitment too, which is, comes from Solo. But the, you know, Jedi are to defend. That's their power. Han is no Jedi, but without a doubt, he's going to use whatever power he feels he has to defend. You know, he's going to, you know, whether it's Kira, whether it's making that choice to help the Cloud Riders, and Kira saying, you know, he's going to help. He's going to help. And,
yeah.
And that her speech of the good guy, everything is, it's that can be, there's a connective thread between what we believe the Jedi should be as put forth in those movies, you know, to attack, not defend. We cannot fight a war for you. There's that core there that I think is in Solo as well, in Han as a character.
I think that's great. Yeah, I think the idea of found family is really obviously present in Star Wars, but it just kind of, in the Skywalker saga, but it just kind of happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Luke and Han and Leia find their way together. Rewatching Empire to get ready for Rise of Skywalker, it's amazing how much the beginning of that movie is built on just their absolute fear of losing one another.
Mm-hmm.
You got those soulful shots of Leia not being so upset that Han and Luke are out there.
Yeah.
Chewie's mournful wail. Han trying to find the words of what to say to Luke when they separate on Hoth because he doesn't know when he's going to see him again. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Even Leia saying in Cloud City to Han, you know, as soon as the Falcon is fixed, you're as good as gone.
Yeah.
Right. So it's, you really, really feel this family that has developed, and you just kind of know, well, yeah, it's found family.
Yeah.
And eventually we learn Luke and Leia are adopted and,
right.
You know, blah, blah, blah. Solo so cements that and makes it absolutely a part of what the core of that movie is about. With Han looking for that, kind of rejecting belonging, not really having a family, but kind of gruffly looking out for kids, wanting to connect with Kira, losing Kira, making his big connection with Chewie, but not really seeing it. And down to that campfire scene of when everybody's going around in a circle and saying, why are they doing this job?
Mm-hmm.
And Chewie is saying, I need to find, I can't tell if he's saying family or tribe. Like all of those moments just really cement that's a core idea of Star Wars as it exists, of you don't always know who you really need to be with, but you find these people and you know that they're your family.
Side note, I just love your take on that, but I haven't really, you know, you don't really see it sometimes in that base level of everyone's in the beginning of that movie losing people. Separation is a good thing, bad thing in that story, and a driving factor. I like that.
Yeah, it's powerful.
Yeah, I like that. I like that campsite scene a lot in Solo. I just like it a lot.
Yeah, it's powerful. Very, very beautiful. And the idea, too, that that little crew is a little found family, and that's all they really want is to just settle down on Gleon Somm.
Yep. Learn the Valacord.
Learn the Valacord, yeah. And we've talked about it a lot, but I was really surprised how much Solo helps tell the story of the state of the galaxy, because we do... Just in the main Skywalker saga, like, you can blow up Alderaan. That's real evil. That's real bad. But we don't get to see kind of the people's perspective.
Yeah.
And Solo shows us the people's perspective of the harm the Empire is doing.
Yeah, on a real small level. Again, that's what I just love the emphasis stuff, but just like even Han, the conversation with Han and Lando about his father. And I like that you do get a sense that he doesn't want anything to do with his family, and it's bad, and his dad could have been really bad. And I think his dad did do bad things, but I think it was to have Han also still speak a little with awe and respect for his father's, my dad used to build these type of things, just speaks to what happened was, I think we've talked about it, the industry got crushed, and maybe he lost his job, became an alcoholic, and left the family, or maybe he was worked to the bone, indentured servitude to the Empire, and died. Like, you know, like there's room to wonder.
Yeah,
but it wasn't just simply my dad hit me and I don't like him. It had some depth, and I think was related to the Empire in some ways.
Yeah, yeah, and it's one of my favorite things about Solo is that everybody just wants some tiny amount of personal freedom and autonomy.
Yeah,
and to not be enslaved. Like, literally, yeah, in that it's in this galaxy right now, it's hard to just go. Mm-hmm. You almost have to be a criminal to be able to just go, can I quietly retire?
Not
be attacked.
One more hit, because that's the only way I'll be safe.
Let's look at Rogue One from that same perspective. Mm-hmm. What themes that originated in the Skywalker saga became more important because of how they were handled in Rogue One?
I don't want to say it's the same of just how they're fighting each other, how you rise up to fight when you have to and everything. And the idea of just hope in general, which clearly shows up in Rogue One. But it's still the spirit of rebellion, right? It's still the formation of the rebellion, as we know, but it's still the spirit of rebellion that causes Luke to run off, and how it's important to get involved. And again, programming over choice is what really comes out in K2SO. But so I like a lot of those things there. Going to the debriefing scene or the Jyn speech scene, and your favorite politicians not caring or not believing. I think there's a lot there that ties into the Skywalker saga. Because again, I grew up 4, 5, and 6. To me, I was always, it's about the fight. There's also some weird Jedi stuff. again, perspective. So I see a lot of that in Rogue One, of just what the fight was for.
Yeah.
And why.
Nor Jabel, you weasel. Yeah, I think one of the great things that it cemented is, again, there's talk in the original trilogy of like, hey, Luke going to Dagobah or going to Bespin might, sacrifice everything your friends have fought for. And we've seen Han and Leia suffer, but you get a sense of like, there's this whole galaxy that depends on, whether or not Luke can survive and prevail, because he's this great Jedi. But just to see like the actual horrors of war.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I think that we have not, this is a weird sentence to say out loud, we haven't given Disney enough credit for killing everyone. it's a brave choice that drives home. Mm-hmm. Okay, we spent a movie. I think we could have spent more time getting to know the main characters. That is totally my criticism. But even without getting to know them as much as I wanted to, I really liked Baze and Chirrut and super loved Cassian and Jyn and K2SO and Bodhi, and to have all of those names.
Yeah.
And they all died at this one battle. Mm. And suddenly you can watch Empire Strikes Back, and if you want to, go, every one of those people who died on Hoth.
Yeah.
That's a Jyn or a Cassian or a Bodhi with their own story, their own perspective, their own talents, and suddenly it just... It makes the war real if you want to experience Star Wars that way.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. The troops on the ground, everything, every description you heard of Rogue One of being a war picture, everything, it so works. And K2's death is the one that gets me the most sometimes, but just Bodhi's, just a man who wanted to be a truck driver, and this is where he ends up, but to make things right, to make things better. It's,
Yeah.
That you can see play out through the rest of the original trilogy if you want.
Yeah. I also think that I really like this great tension in this thing called Star Wars that the argument is often for pacifism.
Right.
Of like, try to find a peaceful way and only act when you need to.
Yeah.
And Luke wrestling with that in The Last Jedi, and Yoda and Obi-Wan going into hiding because fighting's not going to do any better. And the criticism that the Jedi fell because they fought in the Clone Wars. So there's lots in Star Wars that's like, don't fight. It's only for defense. Like, for Rogue One to like fully kind of illustrate, but there's this other half of that of there is a responsibility to act.
Yeah.
When something is clearly like Jyn's line, I'm paraphrasing, like, if we, bow down to an evil this great, we're done.
Right.
And really crystallizing this moment of, here's the other half of that conversation Star Wars is having with itself, of that there are times where it is awful and ugly as war is, there is no choice but to act.
Right.
And I love the way that gets told, and why I've come to love that scene where they don't want to do anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes the extra bravery of our little Rogue One crew and Raddus slapping his fin down,
doing it
to make the difference and then inspiring everybody. Mm-hmm. And we see that echoed, in Rise of Skywalker quite a bit of like, if those people ran off and did this super dangerous thing because it's now or never, then all right, we'll do it too.
We gotta do it too.
Yeah.
We're coming with you.
Yeah. So I think those things really, really add to the Skywalker saga and heighten it, along with the hope. Do you think the existence of the Cassian Andor Disney Plus series will create a Rogue One saga within Star Wars?
I hope, because I have one in my mind based with all the comics and novels, particularly the novels. I mean, it's definitely that Rogue One era that and some of it does tie into with Rebels for me too. You can pull that there. Not quite Mandalorian, but there's some things in that show that I'm like, it's part of that vibe and feel, and even the look with the cinematographer, Greg Fraser, doing most of it, but doing the same as shooting Rogue One as well.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, I am so curious about the Cassian Andor series. I've been on record saying I was looking forward to that more than The Mandalorian. Now The Mandalorian's here. I love it. Still, Kenobi's taking the lead, but we're not here to rank. The reason I'm looking forward to that Cassian Andor series is how much did they lean into the story of this era, or is it just this thing on the side? You know, Cassian gets his spurs or something. I don't know, but I want it to be.
Yeah, I'm really hoping that it is going to be part of the Rogue One saga. We got the great Rebel Rising Jyn book.
Yeah, Rebel Rising.
Catalyst is great. The Rogue One novelization is great. So you do have a little kind of mini Rogue One saga. My hopes for Cassian Andor is not only I love the great, what does an espionage story look like in this period of Star Wars, and that really tense, will I be discovered? When can I just lie to somebody and fake my way through something and get information because I charmed them, and when am I suddenly going to have to kill them the way he kills Tivik in the beginning? But with the little drops in canon of like, he is on the Separatist side. Such a great opportunity to flesh out the prequels. Because I saw somebody tweeting about the prequels during their rewatch, and like, the crawl for episode 3 says there were heroes on both sides, and kind of took it as sort of like weak both sides-ism. But I feel like this story, which hasn't been fully expressed, is there are people who just really did actually have a problem with the government and were manipulated by two Sith lords to take their rightful grievances out of the political realm and into war. And innocent people got caught up in that, and Cassian is one of them.
Yeah, it's like you always hear the talk, and I've talked about it a lot here. It's not 100% true, but just Count Dooku inadvertently is the father of the rebellion in a weird way, if you look, because like he was a Sith Lord manipulating people, but also probably clearly had some issues with the Jedi, issues with the Republic, and he's not super sympathetic to me. But Newt Gunray said at the end, Sidious promised us peace. I believe there's part of me believes there's some truth in that. Maybe not for Newt.
Yeah.
After four trials,
many assassinations.
But you know what I mean? Like, there got to be some other people in the Separatists who are like, this ain't right. And so we believe in that. And that is what that crawl to me is always now, and with more clarity, more time, has meant. And what I think what George really did mean.
I think so too, because his story is how the people can be manipulated.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there are some great Clone Wars episodes in that. But given that Cassian can be this bridge between the Clone Wars in the Civil War.
Right.
I think there might be some really rich stuff that enhances the Skywalker saga there. Mm-hmm. If you could have anything else that was sort of spinning off in some way from Rogue One, so it felt a little bit more separate from Skywalker saga and was dealing with its own, the rebellion.
Yeah.
What kind of stories would you want?
That's great because immediately my mind goes to crawls, but like a little bit more of during the Empire to Jedi phase. Okay. And I know we're moving into some of that with the comic books.
Yeah.
But look at Return of the Jedi, and you don't really see this as a kid. I didn't see it. You got the short film before that's the rescuing of Han.
Yeah.
It's almost nothing to do with anything, but we love it nonetheless. And then everyone's waiting on a cruiser for Han, Luke, and Leia, and Lando to show back up because, going from the point of view as a kid, I saw it as, because they're the leaders of the rebellion, and now they got to go fight the Empire. But there's an entire Rebel Alliance fighting this war.
Yeah.
And these four people are a key part of it.
Yeah.
So what are those stories?
Yeah.
Who emerges in that? Does Ori Marco emerge?
Yes.
Other pilots, other Arvel Krynid. Does he get a series? Who is fighting that war while they're off going to get Han?
Yeah.
There could be good stories in that.
Yeah. And I know there's that Battlefront book that you and I both have on our shelves.
Yes.
That we're going to get to read, the Twilight Battlefront.
And that's a great starting point. You know, like, yeah. I do want to hear those stories. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I absolutely. Everybody makes the Rogue II joke. And I know the Bothans didn't get the plans. They just got the information that the Emperor is going to be there. Got it. But I would be interested in justice for the Bothans and seeing exactly what did they do? What happened to them? Yeah. What did they go through? What did they sacrifice? Was it worth it?
Yeah.
You
know? And I'm glad you, like, the Rogue II joke was made, and then a lot of people just get it confused. I saw Rogue One and there was no Bothans. All right, try again. but that's the thing. If you're into this world, if you're into this franchise and this, and yes, I want to see the formation of the Jedi Order, and we can go to the future, but also in this area, I don't necessarily think we're done because of those kind of things.
Yeah, because of those little stories that haven't been told. Yeah. And I know, you know, we've got a lot in the comic books with with our main group, but if there are other big battles, like we know the Battle of Yavin, we know the Battle of Hoth, we know the Battle of Under, were there other big battles in the Rebellion? Like, not just tracking people on, you know, missions or little missions or bombing runs, but a battle.
Well, we just saw in Last Jedi Rise of Skywalker, Battle of Chiron Belt, or whatever, with Holdo. Yeah. Janna mentions the one specific battle I had in my brain last night of when they mutinied and left.
Yes.
So I love when you hear that, you're suddenly like, ooh, what is that?
Yeah. And I want to think that Battle of Chiron Belt, I don't know if anything canon clarifies this, I want to think that is during the Rebellion.
Oh, it could vary.
Because the resistance has been little skirmishes.
Yes.
And that seems like something like Poe would have learned in school.
I like that take
from
a lot.
Battle of Chiron Belt back in the Rebellion days.
I like that a lot,
since we know that she was around. So that'd be really fun.
That's the series I want.
You also mentioned the common discussion about Return of the Jedi has a half-hour short film in front of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not if you watch Solo, right? Yeah. It enhances that, right? Because Han's kind of not being able to believe that Luke and Leia and Lando put everything on hold just for him becomes so much richer when you watch what he's been through in Solo, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
I mean, no, and that is why on that Solo Hill, I won't quite die on it, but I'll be up there fighting.
Yeah.
The Kasdans really know this character well, especially Lawrence, and they tied it into those emotional feelings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
You're all sick of me out there talking about it all the time, I know.
But No. If the Solo Scoundrel Saga was going to continue on Disney Plus, this is one that people ask about a lot. Yeah. Who or what would you want to see if that part of Star Wars was going to be developed in that kind of general era?
Sure. Look, I could take the big one, Kira Maul and Crimson Dawn and all those things. I definitely would want that. But there's also something to be said of Han and Chewie and the adventures and those books that were, you know, in the 80s and going to meet Jabba. Again, I don't need to see the first time they met in some cute nostalgic way, but just there's a story to tell there.
Yeah.
It doesn't need to be much more than even what Solo already was. And maybe that doesn't appeal to anyone but me. But the big one, I mean, I definitely love the character of Kira, especially of the novels around it, and the material around it. And Maul running, something happened.
Yeah.
Something happened. So I'd like to see that too.
Yeah. I mean, it's the Kira one is a big draw for me, especially since, you know, John Kasdan has talked about they've got ideas. That story wasn't over.
Over, yeah.
And I like that character of Kira so much more. I want to see her get to finish out her arc and be very interested to see. Like, Maul sits in such an interesting place, being part of the Force, but also part of the scoundrel bounty hunter world.
Right.
That's just fun to sit in that story a little bit longer. But honestly, I'd be thrilled if they just had an Enfys Nest.
Oh,
show,
yeah,
right.
Yeah,
because that would be, cause that actually starts to bridge the gap of, she's not a scoundrel. She's early Rebellion.
Yeah. And a Cassian Andor series is I'm still secretly hoping for.
You're hoping for some Enfys Nest crossed over.
It's just the type of thing, like with Tony Gilroy on board. I like that because I like what he did coming in and saving Rogue One, but he's very clearly not a fan. So if someone was like, hey, we have this cool character, Enfys Nest, there's a chance he'd just be like, I don't know what that is, and I want it. And I'm maybe prejudging, but that's my only worry about it, because I want that Cassian Andor, Infant's Nest, and Saw Gerrera at a table scene that in my head, yeah, you know, that I've wanted.
But. Well, yeah, just to see kind of what she grows into and how mm-hmm. things go for her and the Cloud Riders, and yeah. maybe yep. getting a little bit more of the, what is this tradition with that mask? And, you know.
Oh, yeah, her knowing a little bit more that what yeah. that is, her mother, yeah, everything.
That would be beautiful. So we're doing a little bit of a shorter episode here for this mm-hmm. holiday, so we're on to our last talking point, discussion point for our main topic. So let's imagine an alternate world, Ken, mm-hmm. where Solo killed at the box office.
Oh, yes.
In 2020, Kenobi was coming out yeah. to the big screen, yeah. and yeah. everybody's like, Star Wars stories, they work, they're the future, and every 2 years, at least, we were getting a new standalone, quote-unquote, Star Wars story.
Right.
What would you be wanting?
Man, yeah.
Because it's different than all of our hopes for Disney Plus to be like, yes, it's on the big screen, it's an event.
Yeah, yeah. See, I wonder, it's like, do you do some sort of, because if Solo's a success and they're rolling with Kenobi, do they feel the need to really, quote, wrap up the Skywalker saga so they can clear it, move on to recalibrating their approach to movies, right? Which I right. think could be some of it. I don't think that's a cynical view of it a little bit. It might have been from the beginning. You're like, let's just do this. We'll do 9 and then we'll move on to other areas. I don't know. But I want to go down that path of the Skywalker era doesn't need, the Skywalker saga does not need to be directly closed because things are working. Money's just pouring in and everyone's happy. Okay. Yeah. Give me, bring in Scorsese, to do the Adventures of Luke Skywalker, a movie with some de-aging. This, now we can add Lando,
yeah,
Laura Santeca, and then take that up and maybe get more with just Luke. I don't even need Han and Leia.
Okay.
Going off on some crazy adventures and finding and discovery. Okay. Could that be a movie? Does he uncover something? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm not the one who would have to write it. something like that.
Okay. I can see the pull mm-hmm. of that. I think we used to talk about it a lot. It's mm-hmm. where I hope they were going with the Star Wars stories mm-hmm. is I would love to see just those truly standalone adventures that are separated enough from the Skywalker saga that you don't have to do an episode of a podcast saying, are the standalones actually a part of the main saga?
Right.
And just explore genre mm. and just get behind it and just go, hey, everybody, mm-hmm. October 2021, the first Star Wars horror movie. That's what it is. It's going to blend Star Wars
right.
with tropes of horror. It's, mm-hmm. You know, some Padawans who run away and mm-hmm. try to prove themselves by staying overnight in a Sith temple. And it doesn't go well. You know, any number of different things, right?
I do enjoy the Stranger Things and Star Wars that you yeah. picture.
You could do it just a total like yeah. kaiju movie, because kaiju is a part of right. the DNA of Star Wars.
Yep.
Of you tell a story where there's, you know, you got some rogue scoundrel like Han Solo and like some,
yeah.
you know, I've heard every 50 years some Godzilla thing rises. Like, just
you pitching a Jeepers Creepers Star Wars?
Wow. I didn't mean to, but still want great. The bounty hunter buddy comedy, which. Yep. Is maybe just the Mandalorian now?
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. Flying around the galaxy yeah, with a Mando yeah. dad and a baby Yoda. Yep, yep. I don't think that's where we are.
No.
In storytelling, I think people need yeah. movies to be big events, which is, I think, probably what ultimately...
Yeah.
One of the main things that ultimately affected the standalone stories, besides the yep. too much, too fast, blah, 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 all that.
Big, especially with Solo.
Yeah.
I think people came out of that going, what was the stakes? Did I need to see that?
Yeah.
There wasn't a Death Star exploding. Yeah.
So to close out the topic, how are you feeling now? Do you still see them as essential parts of the Skywalker saga?
With those themes and everything, I'm still in a way. I get where you're saying. And I'm happy going that way too, but I just like, I'm going to sit and watch them in my house. For me in my house.
Okay.
We will watch these in the Skywalker saga.
Okay. With all of the themes that we've talked about, I can see it. I can really see it both ways. I can see it going, no, this is the story of, trilogy mainly about Anakin, trilogy yeah. mainly about Luke, and trilogy about Rey. And those are the main thrusts. It's the Skywalker saga.
Right.
I can see that. But I can also see Solo is episode 3.5. And Rogue One is episode 3.9. However you want to do your math.
Yeah.
That's not for me, the math doing. But yeah, the themes so deeply enhance and reward reviewings of the Skywalker saga with the additional weight brought by the events of Rogue One and Solo. Undeniably.
It's all a wonderful tapestry.
That is right. And now we're going to take a quick tapestry break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You should celebrate yourself every day, but some days you should celebrate with jewelry. Whether you want to commemorate an unforgettable moment or just bring some added sparkle to your collection, Blue Nile can offer you expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com today and experience the ease and convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com. BlueNile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
And we're back here on Force Center. We're diving in deep to the timeless debate. Our Solo and Rogue One, part of the Skywalker saga, and I think we solved it.
Justin. We solved it.
It solved it completely.
Yeah, you get to decide. Problem solved.
You get to decide. Problem solved. Before we go on to some questions from you, our fine friends in the audience, we've got our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. What do we got this week?
We are recommending Most Wanted by Ray Carson. This is the setup prequel to Solo. Got some great stuff with Han, Kira, and a Rodian pal that really sets up all of the themes, particularly Kira. It really cements Kira in a great way.
It's so good. Great choice. Great choice. Part of this Solo saga. download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/ForceCenter for your free audiobook. As Joseph said, we're doing a kind of a shorter holiday version, which is funny. This is a shorter holiday version of Force Center that is back to the original time frame of the show after Jennifer left. I don't know what it is. I guess maybe just, you know, Joseph and I, just no one's there to keep us in line, and we've been going for 3 hours and we love it. We hope you guys love the journey too. We're going to go to these questions here from Facebook. James Dothwit. Who are the chanting hooded figures in Palpatine's arena? And were they actually real? We're going to the Rise of Skywalker. Mm-hmm. This movie's creating some questions, and that's okay. Yeah. What do you got?
So great. And I think when I pulled this question, I had a typo. So it says, who are the chanting hooded figures in Palpatine's area? what singles are in Palpatine's area right now?
I love that we don't know right now. Who knows? We're pre-recording, so maybe we do know.
It's true. Maybe there's one of those articles that came out. Yeah,
There's. I know I saw in the credits. There's the Sith alchemists, right? And I think we see like a shot of early on when Kylo first gets there.
Right, people
like adjusting the bubbling fluids going into Palpatine. Right. I'm torn about what I want. I think I'm not big on them being like the spirits of the Sith because they're all very uniform. And, you know, I like the idea that Sith had lots of different body types, right? Yeah. So they could be like, I think I kind of like the idea that they're either just obsessive acolytes who have made their way to Palpatine or, you know, are on that side of the unknown regions, or that they are just the actual residents of this planet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because there are just different stories where sometimes the Sith used to be like a people.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it's fun to be like, if that is the Sith planet, are they just the people of, are they the Sith people Sith in some way from Exegol?
I like that idea. The first few, when I thought they were completely just there, part of Palpatine's mind or a vision in a way, or not a vision, but you know what I mean? Like, I just was like, they're not people. There's something there. They're representative of something else. Second time, I was like, I think I'm taking them as people. And even when the thing starts to collapse and some of them get destroyed, I'm like, I'm saying there's some real death going on there.
Yeah.
Not just a vanishing of, it's not like the Army of the Dead and Return of the King or something. I don't know.
Right.
But
right.
I still kind of, on that planet, but because it is an actual planet, because we've seen some, we also know Palpatine hired for a very long time. He's been hiring some new Sith people, new outfits and everything. We're going to get those stories in one day. I will say right now some sort of real creature, person, thing, all of them.
Yeah, I think that's what I really like. Yeah. Like just creepy, obsessive, insidious fan people.
Waiting.
Either they're born there or made their way somehow there and are just feeding off of his dark power, and he's sucking power off of him, and just a bunch of creepy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that. James, the answer maybe will come out one day in some sort of book. Lachlan Edwards says, does this force heal / transfer power being explored mean that Sheev used it on Padme to keep Vader alive in episode 3? I think so, and I love it. So first of all, what I love about this is Lachlan takes something that's new and different in a Star Wars film, and instead of really just fighting against it, he goes, I wonder how else this fits in, if at all, to some things we've seen in Star Wars. So I like this train of thought. And I am down for a good Palpatine, Padme, Vader, Anakin theory.
Yeah.
Sometimes I think it just is what it is, what you saw on the screen, and she just died. But what do you think here? What do you got?
Yeah, I like exploring that in canon. Mm-hmm. I like the idea of Force Heal is just not something that was in common use, that kind of thing. You know, for Rey doing it, she could have read it in the books. Who knows? It doesn't bother me too much. I always do want I want something more out of Padme's passing.
Yeah,
and the idea that the light side would be giving of your own energy to heal someone else, that there would be a sort of Sith opposite that would be in the exact right circumstance, you can suck life energy from someone else and take it.
Yeah.
It works for me in the way I enjoy thinking about the light and the dark side.
Yeah.
And they were real clear in Rise of Skywalker. It's been a long day of podcasting.
Yep.
They're clear that this Force dyad to that R1 hadn't happened in generations.
Yeah.
So I don't want to apply that to Anakin and Padme, but I wonder if there is some level of like they you could imagine that they're connected so powerfully that it's not like Palpatine could just be like,
Vader's dead.
Who's out there?
Steve Antilles on Dantooine. I'll suck your juice, your life essence into.
Did I kill Kid Fisto? I did. Damn
it. There's something. And from Palpatine's perspective, if you were able to sense that Padme is alive, he does not want that, right? It cements Vader into the dark side for Palpatine to say, it looks like you killed her.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I know people have been big on this theory in the past.
In the past, yeah.
And I think it's a fine interpretation. I don't think, for myself personally, there's nothing in the film that makes it clear that's exactly what's happening.
Right.
But if there's Force Heal, I'm fine with Force Steal.
Force Steal! That's the power! To Patreon we go. Dallas Diaz says, Dallas Diaz, I think he batted 275 for the Rangers one year. That's a great name. Now that the sequel trilogy is concluded, what piece of dialogue, music, scene, etc., gave you the most original trilogy feel in when that one moment? For me, it's easy. The scene of music in Rise of Skywalker when Luke force lifts his X-Wing out of the water to give it to Rey is in one word, beautiful. The music and scene were absolute perfection. It took me right back to almost the same scene between Yoda and Luke in Empire Strikes Back. It hit me right in the feels in the theater and made me magically feel like a kid watching Empire Strikes Back again. Anything stick out for you like this did for me in any of the three sequel trilogy movies? Well, that's just, Dallas, that's a powerful story, too.
Yeah.
I love sharing that and how it hit you there. Joseph, what do you got for this one?
Yeah, I think my mind goes to two lightsaber moments. I think in The Force Awakens, when the hero's saber is in the snow, I think that was really very much on purpose to evoke memories of Luke's lightsaber being in the snow on Hoth. So when it is shaking and you are expecting maybe, if you're coming at it from that perspective, that maybe that's when Luke's going to pop into the movie and it flies into Rey's hand, it's a great setup to be surprised, but then delighted by the surprise that's right for this story, that blade was calling to Rey earlier and that's where it wants to be. Mm-hmm. That one popped for me. And I went on about this recently on our review, but Rey's new lightsaber at the end.
Mm.
I think because it was so new and it was so hers and built out of her past, it just, the nerdy, it's cool because it's different with the side flick and the yellow blade
in Star Wars,
right? It's new, but it also just connects to that youthful desire to, I want to have a lightsaber to see somebody else on screen truly have their own lightsaber.
Uh-huh.
And like we see all sorts of Jedi in the prequels who have lightsabers they built,
yeah, different color shapes,
but whatever. We went through a whole journey to see why. We don't know why Maze wanted, you know, some nice curved lines and a little bit of inlaid gold, right? We don't know why.
Right.
But with Rey, we know why that lightsaber looks the way it does. So it really just ignited the kid in me who's just like, I want a lightsaber.
Or the adult in you who goes to Galaxy's Edge.
Paid $200 for a lightsaber, and I like it a lot.
This is a great question. Dallas, you and I are in the same spot on the X-Wing being pulled out of the water, and Luke in the hand position, just like Yoda, except for the other side. It hit me so hard the first time. And the music, because I love Yoda's music, and that worked for me. And Joseph can tell you, in the time that we've been recording a lot of stuff pre-taping this episode, anytime we're down, I'm just doing the dun 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 dun. I'm humming the main theme because of how it popped into the movie.
Yeah.
And so even though there's not in a direct correlation with the, you know, we're getting a space fight or anything, but I'm just like, that takes me back to the original trilogy just there and using that so well. One thing for me in Rise of Skywalker that really worked was when they go to rescue Chewie, it is not beat for beat in a one-for-one comparison, but just they're going to a station, a Death Star, a Star Destroyer, it doesn't matter. They're going somewhere. They're in a hangar with the Falcon.
Yeah.
They're going to rescue a friend in a cell, and they're running around, and they're shooting cameras, and they're fighting stormtroopers, and I'm like, wow, this is New Hope, and the rescue of Princess Leia to a T, except for now it's Chewie, and I thought that was there for me. Definitely some stuff in the Battle of Crait. I mean, literally the Veers formation of the Walkers really took me back to some of the things I love about the Battle of Hoth. The lightsaber moment, Force Awakens, is really powerful because that was the Luke moment for me at that moment. You know, that I'm like, oh, he might show up. And I wanted that, and I wasn't ready for Rey, but luckily Rey was ready for Rey in that moment.
Yeah.
And that's why it's powerful. Yeah. So yeah. That's some stuff. Dallas, we could go on, but that's some great stuff. And thanks again for sharing. Carry On Spike. That's a great ship. Tarkin's and Tarix's ship, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carry on my wayward Spike. Who is Rey's grandma and why is it Sly Moore? If Rey did turn to the dark side and embrace Palpatine as her grandfather, what would her cute nickname be for him? Pop Pop Sidious? This is great. I love ending with some humor here.
Yeah,
we were talking about it at the party last. We had the Collider holiday party talking about this, and you, me, and Van Williams. I think your wife Sarah was there too, discussing this. Sly Moore, Palpatine, could that be Sly Moore?
When you go like, who is around and creepy enough to get down with old Sheev?
Yeah,
Sly Moore is right there. Sheev and Sly. Get those end of the year holiday cards. What have we been up to?
You know, I want to see those family Christmas cards like people did with Han, Leia, and Kylo and Ben when they took Carrie Harrison.
Sheev, Sly, and Steve.
Yep.
Chad.
Yeah. I think Chad Palpatine, I'm definitely, and probably in honor of Chad Vader and the old people being too close, but Chad Palpatine. Ash Crossan said that just now. She was like, can we talk about Chad Palpatine and how he just failed his dad with no force powers and probably must have been so disappointed at him.
Yeah.
Just a great new family dynamic in Star Wars.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Nickname.
Yeah.
What do you got?
I think since Rey used to use it on Kylo before he turned back to the light and became Ben Solo once more, I think she would just call him Grandpa Monster.
Grandpa Monster.
Grandpa Monster.
Grandpa Monster.
Grandpa. Grandpa Monster.
Pop Sidious is great.
Pop Sidious is.
Yeah.
Hard to get around.
G-Pa, Sheev, there's a lot of things there, but I'm still stuck on Sly Moore.
Yeah.
Palpatine's dating life now just got pulled into focus in Star Wars,
yeah.
And that's an accomplishment of the movie.
Palpatine.
Grandpappy Poppy.
Grandpappy Palpy. There you go. That's the winner. Grandpappy Poppy.
There you go. Carry On Spike, Dallas, Lachlan, James, thanks for your questions. If you have questions or comments, and I know you do out there because of this movie inspiring a lot in people, go to us on Twitter at ForceCenterPod. Use the hashtag ForceCenter, like our Facebook page. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Podcasts available a lot of spots. Just search it, but places like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and tune in are there as well. Patreon.com/ForceCenter is where you can support the show. And we've got merch, and you know, we're always going to be adding merch too. Joseph, where can they get that?
You can go to TeePublic. You can get many different shirts. You can say hello there to the new year in an Obi-Wan Kenobi t-shirt that says hello there. Yeah. You can find that in all of our merch at TeePublic.com/user/ForceCenter.
All right. You can support us, our endeavors, by following us online at Ken Knapsack for me and the website KenKnapsack.com. Joseph.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram is at Joseph Scrimshaw, and you can check out my website, josephscrimshaw.com, for updates on everything, comedy albums, live shows, got a New Year's Eve show coming up. And I think we should say for next week coming up, we'll be back into our normal rhythm, and we'll be digging into, The Rise of Skywalker will be completed.
Yeah.
The Mandalorian will have been completed. We'll do our separate Mando review. It'll be really a good time to look to the future after these big journeys are complete.
Absolutely. On our radar screen is looking to what is coming down the line. So thank you all for the last few years, the support, the journey. This is even for us a new era because we too have to look ahead, just like Lucasfilm is as well. But we're going to be looking back. Lot to dive into, so stick with us here. That is it for now. We'll see you next time. That was Force Center.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.